Oh, best.
Mike, are you going to eat?
Okay. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 5:33.
Chief Blake, would you lead the pledge allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here.
Ryan Boyle.
Here.
Justin Miller is absent. Chris Duplum.
Here.
Rob Gallion.
Here. Any amendments or adjustments to the agenda? And if there are none, we have approval motion.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as typed.
Do a second.
Second.
Second by Kim Stout. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Presenter, none. Citizen input, none. February 22 board meeting minutes. Huh? Yeah. Then 21.
I move to approve the February
as amended.
Amended to 2022.
Second.
I'll second.
Second by Chris DuPont. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Old business consolidation group update. Kim?
Sure. So last meeting, we just basically most of the time went over the IGA. George Dunkel from SDAO, along with Ben Oaks facilitating. And it overall looked good. There was a few minor adjustments, changes they made. And so I believe next it goes, they'll do those changes and then present it to our legal representation of the consolidation group.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So that's just to catch everybody up. That's happened already. In fact, I had an hour long Zoom meeting with our lawyer regarding that IGA. So we've got some changes in there from, you know, just from the legal perspective. We didn't really change any subject matter in there, just maybe made it a little clearer. He and I went over that today. He was going to make the changes. And then on Friday, he, George, and myself are going to get together, make sure we're all good. And then that will go to our next meeting on the 30th. This one will have that GA there ready to go. So
then after that, it would be presented to the boards, right?
The yeah.
So that was the main thing. And then Chief Blake gave a operations update. I'll just add that those go very well. It's nice to have him there and it's very well received. I think it gives everybody a lot of encouragement and just confidence in going forward. And I think just to see that he's already working so hard, and even to us, it seems like even a step ahead of, you know, where we're at. So it's good. So thank you.
Well, I do that with the help of my staff, Mike and Casey and that, but yes, thank you. Appreciate that.
And then the last thing that we had talked about the meeting before is Janet Brown and Susan Stovall kind of are leading a subcommittee to be communication to the community and keep them updated in this whole process. So they presented I have a copy of it here, but if you guys want to see it, kind of it's before the adjustments, there's a couple changes we made, but as a general flyer, something that can be posted and shared with the community. And then this is the first initial one going out that you guys can look
at. Kim, the one consolidation meeting that I attended, it was talked about this specific thing, outreach, and how are they, well, that's not saying, sound too off color. How are they going to reach outside of the consolidation group circle? There's a certain level of demographics that's within that working group.
Right.
How do we get in touch with the other 70%?
Oh. I think you want me to answer that, or you want to do it, or well, we both
can
do it?
Yeah, well, I can just tell you from my part what I know. I think one way is there, and we, this is kind of on our agenda coming up as far as meeting with different, like, couple people from the group will be meeting with different groups. I think you already met with Coffee Cuppers. And
I met with Coffee Cuppers, well, not last Friday, but the Friday before. And then we're getting ready to do some more outreach on some stuff. I have a speaking engagement on Kiwanis on Tuesday. And then we also have one that's specifically designed for consolidation talk on that. And then we're trying to find those opportunities, and there'll be several opportunities that we'll be reaching out, not only to, you know, the Culver area residents, the Madras area, or our residents within Jefferson County, but, you know, we also have to do some outreach and some impact out at Three Rivers and some of the other neighboring, because of the EMS's areas out that way. So we got to kind of, you know, there's lots of different avenues we got to hit this at. So we're looking for a bunch of different opportunities to go out and have this conversation. And this flyer was the first start to that, of something that we can hand out and then be able to ask questions on. And quite honestly, we started doing that with the open house on Thursday, was part of that piece. So it's not a surprise that we're going out now and talking to this stuff. And then we're also working on trying to, you know, we'll do some structured interviews with the newspaper and some other stuff, where, you know, we'll kind of try to control the narrative as much as we can about what we're doing and where we're at, and get that printed out and where we're heading. Doesn't mean we're not going to get the opposite opinion on that, but at least we're controlling that somewhat as far as the plan. So I've been working on with a few other people just on kind of drafting that kind of outline on what we're going to talk about, where we're going to go. And one of the big things was that is the discussion we had centered around that flyer, where we, you know, we continued to make reference, or that there was an aspect that was continuing to make reference about, well, this isn't going to raise taxes. Well, that's can be true, but it can also be wrong, because at some point, if we raise taxes or raise an operational levy 2 years later down the road, they could always go back and attribute that to the annexation or the consolidation of the group or whatever. And that not might not be true, or it may be true, you know, it's just, but we can't sit there and say it's not going to happen, because we are a growing community. And at some point it might have to happen, depending on what we want. But what needs to happen is our voters and our patrons need to have to make that choice, right? And they'll dictate what kind of service level we have. And I'm trying to get away from, and trying to instruct the people that I'm working with, is let's get away from saying what we want and talk about really what we need and why we need it, and change the narrative a little bit, right? And then we have to demonstrate that need. And we do that through the use of data. We do that through the use of, you know, everything that impacts the community in these particular situations. Transfers, fires, so on and so forth. So trying to approach it from a more sophisticated marketing campaign.
And then the last thing that I'll just mention it now, their EMS board, well, Janet Brown asked Dusty and me before this if we could ask you guys about when we might want to start having joint board meetings, like maybe April or May. And they would move to having theirs on Tuesdays when we have ours.
Theirs are, Mike, you can help speak to this, but theirs are
second Monday.
So we'd try and make it the second Tuesday and then have it kind of, there's going to right before, and it's pretty short, but we could potentially, there is a way I believe that we can do them together if need be. So I think we have to do some more exploring, but we need to, it just makes it easier because then we don't have that. When we're talking, if you ask a question, I can answer it and then not get asked the same exact question and have it be answered mm-hmm. slightly differently because something's changed or whatever. I think it's imperative that the communication that comes out from both boards is they're hearing it from the same person at the same time, somehow, some way. So I don't know, Tim, if you have any, can how that's going to work exactly, but from what
joint,
I understand.
A joint board meeting?
Yeah.
I would suggest that notice efforts to the public for board meetings and agendas need to consolidate so that our constituents are knowledgeable about when these meetings are occurring and have the opportunity to come and attend and participate.
Why do they need to be consolidated other than if they were just two agendas that happen to go at the same place, same time?
Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. I don't know. We don't. That's what I'm asking is.
Okay.
If we just,
what's our options?
Well, I guess I'd have to direct you on that to the facilitator of the consolidation group and the attorney that you've employed to draft the IGA because I don't see anything. I don't see anything wrong with two groups meeting on the same occasion at the same location and having their own agendas prior to those two groups actually becoming consolidated. There's nothing that would violate public meeting laws there. But I would want to run it by the facilitators of the consolidation group to get their opinion on that. And you, like I said, as long as the notice, you're not violating public meeting laws and the notice requirements continue to be met, probably not an issue.
Yeah, seems like the MRC and City Council, they have those meetings back to back. They send out the agendas on it together. Our meetings have been really short, so let's see, we send out two different agendas that kind of end in the same packet that go out.
And that's what I think their thoughts on it are is just right. At least for now would be just to have it back to back. Like there's first, which would be fairly short. And we
need to, I know David's aware of that. And I know George is aware of that. And so we just have to get that kind of pathway written, how we want to do it. And then like Mike's right is, there's a point at which it'll be a natural thing to bring the kind of the boards together because we're going to be talking about the same stuff. Right, as mm-hmm. agenda. So maybe we just have, if there's something that their board needs to bring up, we can send that, give that to Leanne, and it just become part of our regular agenda packet too until the dissolution of the EMS board with whatever time that is. So it's this is new to everybody. So
are you proposing that would our day change to be the same day?
We would keep ours the same day. We'd move EMS to our day.
Say like 5 o'clock or something.
And then have the fire one start at 6 o'clock or something. And EMS would be 5:30.
Something like that, yeah. We'll have to work that out.
They would just amend their notice to the next day in our location?
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll make some adjustments on the time schedule and then just get it. And then, for obvious reasons too, that means that, we're not having to have two meetings in 2 days discussing the same stuff primarily.
So next meeting would be April. Are you suggesting we would need it for April?
I think we have some more work to do. I think we got to talk to David and get some direction on how we want to do that, make sure everything's right at Tim, like Tim said, and then have our meeting in March. So I think realistically, it's probably going to be more May than April. So,
okay. Any other consolidation?
I think that's the, you know, we just continue to, so just so you guys know where we're at, EMS is here most of the day right now. They're doing, they're going, reporting to work, they're going and doing their apparatus checks and getting their stuff, and then they are reporting here. And then we are slowly, very casually right now, just integrating the groups and doing a lot of talking and a lot of what to expect type of stuff. And now today we started kind of the first attempt to start outlining the day and what that's going to look like and what to expect and what it's being in a fire station, what is like being at EMS and what's different, and then what they, what's the same, and then trying to blend that all together, right, so that there's no real big earth-shattering surprises, which there shouldn't be. And then I've done a lot of sit down and talking with them over the course of a couple of days and just asking questions. And then there's other things like simple stuff, functional stuff, like what do we need to bring over here? What do we need to make room for? And then what are we going to take over there with EMS? And there's, we already have, you know, so we have two bays that are open now that they can park their ambulances in during the day. And they can be plugged in, and it's working pretty well with the groups. And, you know, the first, I think Mike can say it, the first day or two was pretty awkward, but I think it's mellowing out. I think a lot of that went away a little bit when Mike and I had a meeting with their staff, and Casey had a meeting with their staff, not last Monday, but the week before, which I think helped a lot to kind of ease some nerves and figure out who I was. So I think it's progressing. On March 15th, Mike is moving over here. So his admin, his office will be in Mark's office, and then Mark's office will be the BLM office. And then we've been working with the BLM, and we're going to move the BLM to the EMS building. And then eventually, hopefully, the EMS or BLM will be paying us to lease a portion of that building. So it'll actually start to help us with some revenue generation. And then long-term, we'd like to get BLM back. And we'll talk about that more and more of a comprehensive plan for this whole property. But that's kind of where we're moving as now. So we're moving a little bit ahead of schedule on some things, maybe a little bit behind on there, but we're still trying to shoot for that totally functional July 1st. And, you know, we meet probably almost every day. Just, or we're either talking on the phone or having a meeting in my office, just kind of writing stuff on the dry erase board and figuring out, okay, what do we got to try and solve? What do we got to try and fix? Where's our issues or foreseen issues right now? Our big thing based on our lawyer is going to be some, there's some employee transfer issues that we just need to address. None of it is bad. It's just trying to figure it out. But that takes time. We're waiting for insurance companies to get back to us and other stuff. That's about it, unless you guys have any questions, huh?
Joe, you're going to get that later.
No, I'll hit that on the business manager stuff. So consolidation, that's pretty much it, unless you have any specific questions for us or something.
Hey. No questions. Annexation.
Yeah, we were presented George Wilson. Phone call from him. He's on the very southern end of our district. He had purchased, I think, around 40 acres. A triangle piece of his is in our district, but his house is just outside of the fire district, and he's looking at annexing in. And so I talked to him and just trying to do some prior research. I had Tim kind of go over the annexation paperwork and make sure that that's still all accurate. and before I sent it to George. George filled it out, returned it back. And one of the steps that we can do if he wants kind of immediate fire coverage is, one, as the annexation paperwork's going through, that's one process. The other part process is, if you want to be contracted in, you can send a letter to the board and get contracted in. And the rate, by looking at past history of what that was, it was $250 per thousand. Where so it's an increase compared to what our typical tax rate is of $1.18, and that's to incentivize the want fire coverage to get annexed in. And so I know one of the last ones we had was that we denied was out on Rand Road that was really surrounded by Forest Service land. But like I said, this one is contiguous with our district boundaries right now. And so this would be part of the process is, you know, him submitting this paperwork to us and then the board approving moving forward with annexation, which then goes to the county. And then the second part of it is that the contract piece. So there's kind of two things here.
So I think that I don't know that there actually has been an annexation under the tenure of the current board. The last time the issue came up was the proposal for annexation of Ramps Road, which was rejected because it was too remote from the existing district boundaries. Whereas, as Assistant Chief Scar said, this property is contiguous to district boundaries. And so I did look at the application for the fire district for somebody who wants to petition the fire district for annexation. And the current application is in good form. The application process and the process of annexation is prescribed by statute. So there are guidelines in the law for what needs to take place. The application was submitted by Mr. Wilson. I think there are a couple of issues with the submission by Mr. Wilson. The next step in the process would be for the board to adopt a resolution to move forward with the annexation based on the application by Mr. Wilson. But we need to make a couple changes to Mr. Wilson's application before I would be comfortable putting it before the board for resolution. Because after this board approves the resolution for the annexation, it gets sent over to the County Board of Commissioners, who then has to approve it as well. So we want to make sure that it's complete and in good form. And then they are required to hold public hearing on it somewhere between 20 and 50 days from when they receive the petition for annexation. And so that's the process. If the board is interested in having this property owned by Mr. Wilson annexed into the district, then I can work with Assistant Chief Scar, Chief Blake, and Mr. Wilson to make some changes and some amendments to his application so that it's in good form. And then we can present it to the board at a future meeting for board approval at this level prior to going to the county.
So the only issue you see was the application was
Yes, there was
incomplete.
Well, the legal description was not correct. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple other procedural requirements that are supposed to be incorporated into the application, which were not there. And it's a lot of legal vernacular there that somebody who's not familiar with transactions involving real property wouldn't be familiar with. And so we can assist Mr. Wilson if that's something that the board wants to proceed with, is having his property annexed. And that's actually part of our application for a homeowner to petition. It states in the application that we're trying to place the burden primarily on the homeowner for gathering information and producing the complete petition, but the fire district can assist if needed.
Part of that. Hybrid.
What's that? Towards the high bridge, yeah.
Like just like right before
the high bridge on the west side.
Yeah. like towards Quincy. Very southern end of our district.
And part of his property is actually in our district.
Okay.
So we're really starting that process of there's a piece of a corner there. So we're trying to just clean up. It works out good for us because we're kind of cleaning up some areas anyways. So I would support Tim helping him with that and just get this done. And I think it's a good move.
I would definitely support that as well.
Okay.
So I don't know that we need formal action, do we?
No, I don't think we need a resolution by the board for it to further the process of helping Mr. Wilson through his application. But we'll get that done, and we'll have that for the board to consider the actual resolution for annexation at a future meeting.
And the contract for service, like that happens now?
Yeah, he's doing that. So he's covered now. It's just.
Well, we need to.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry.
We need to get that okay.
Yes.
That probably should have a resolution and a contract with Mr. Wilson to provide coverage by contract pending his successful application for an approval for annexation.
Is that contract in here?
Right here.
This is what Rob's saying. I thought this was application on it for the annexation. This is the annexation.
Yeah, so the where's annexation the is this piece. A letter. So from what the documents that I was reading, a letter to the board. To get into contract is the way to do it. And then what happens is the property gets assessed and it gets invoiced at a 250 per thousand.
This letter is for annexation, not asking for.
There's not an actual contract in the board pocket at this time that I saw for.
Oh, yes.
On the very last sentence, it says that
the fire district would like to get a contract fire protection law that would wait for annexation approval.
Oh,
yeah.
We can cover that with just a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Make a motion to move forward with the contract for Mr. Wilson to provide fire service while he's formally applying for the annexation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Boyle. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Leanne will be able to set up an invoice for that. We have some old templates that we've used in the past. Just be an invoice.
That's it for annexation?
Yep.
Yes.
Item B, business manager.
Okay, so I've been studying our budget. I've been studying EMS's budget. We've been working with Mike and Casey on this and then trying to figure out some things and looking long term. And I've come to the determination that I would like to recommend that we bring on a business manager on a contract basis, part-time at this point, to kind of help us get things kind of reset for where we are currently within our budget. We've got a lot going on. I don't want to miss anything. The person that I have in mind currently works for Redmond Fire and Rescue. She has agreed to come on and she can contract with us for 10 hours a week. And we've tried to, the agreement that we have right now is I want to try working on a couple projects with her with that 10 hours a week. And I've asked her I gave her the kind of the scope of what those projects were. She was up here, spent about 6 hours with us last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And that was myself, Casey, and Leanne. And what the two projects that I have is we need to do the reallocation of our savings to kind of comply with our auditor and kind of divide our savings up into building maintenance, apparatus replacement, merger, and kind of put in our new budget. I know you're laughing because this is contrary to what you were told before, right? But
we've been told everything.
I know. But anyways, so that's one aspect of it. But it also needs to include, you know, what our planned merger expenses and things like that. And then the other piece to that is taking Mike's salaries from his side, our salaries, and then kind of trying to find that blend together and then see where we're ultimately going to end up. And then that also includes following a new FLSA cycle, because when EMS comes over, they automatically draw overtime at 40 hours a week, where if they're in the fire department, it becomes a 56 hour week. So we have some savings there, but then we have some more expenses based on moving our captains to 24 hours or 48-96 schedule. But then we lose some of the duty officer pay that we're paying. And so this just gets really complicated, and we need a professional person to kind of help us out with that. And Jody is awesome with it. And if you get the right business manager, they're worth their weight in gold. And actually, they save you a ton of money in the long run. And then they help us plan for the future, which also means that, you know, not only what we can expect, where we can see our savings kind of drifting down, but also then finding the alternate ways to replace it. And we are in dire need to get this done, because we've applied for these grants. And if we, for instance, with the SAFER grant, if we make it through the first and the second round, we're going to have to give them our books and financials, and they're going to see the million that we've got in there, or a million plus, and it's not allocated. And they're going to go, well, why should we give you this if it's not allocated? So we need to allocate it. And we have plenty of justification for the allocations. We've got some expenses coming up with the remodel internally of this. We got some planned expenses later down the road. We have replacement of some fire apparatus that we want to look at in the future. So we have a reason to put this stuff into different boxes so that we can find out what's the best way to do this. So I guess what I'm looking for is just your approval to proceed with this. What I don't have yet from her is exactly how much time she's thinking it's going to take to get these two projects done. And I don't have an hourly rate from here. I'm just basically, I know she's not going to gouge us, but I know I'm asking for your trust in moving forward with this. And then if we find out that this 10 hours isn't enough and she can't fulfill that need, then we have a couple other options to go. And one of those is with Becky, that used to work for the county, that helped Casey and Mike with this budget that we've been working on. Brandy, sorry. Too many names I've met this week. Brandy. So that we can utilize her, and she's reached out. I don't know Brandy as well as I know Jody. And so I'm comfortable with Jody right now, and I've seen her work with Redmond Fire and what she's been able to do. And she's just another person that I've been able to leverage from my previous life, if you will. So, and she's excited. She actually worked up in Madras before. She understands the community. She worked at St. Charles in their business office before that. So,
personally, I think it's time well spent. I imagine it's. Mm-hmm.
Fire chiefs are great at coming up with the conceptual visual, the visual plan, the what we need, but really, if we're truly honest, we suck at budgeting, right? Because we don't go to school to learn finance. And so the trend is we have to get sharper. It used to work 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. It doesn't work now because everything's so tight. So the trend is to have business managers, and we are becoming an organization that is becoming much more complicated than we were before. And it's a good move to protect all of us moving forward, in my opinion.
Okay. And it would be on a contract basis, not a...
Yeah, it's not a full-time FTE employee. It's on a contract basis. But it will also, you know, be able to help Leanne with kind of getting some stuff. Casey actually taught her some stuff too, from something that Brandy taught him. So it's, you know, but they're all tight. She knows Brandy. They're tight. There's only very few of these, so they're all pretty familiar with each other anyways. So anything that Jody does, if she can't fulfill that need, Brandy will just be able to, or whomever will be able to just kind of jump right in and not have to reinvent the wheel.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Got my support.
Okay, thank you.
Code of Ethics.
Yeah, I just threw that in there. It's just kind of updated.
We need to have us all sign it.
Everybody needs to sign it. And then
we have a specific copy. Pass it down.
Yeah. There is a fancy one.
They're all fancy.
High quality.
Hey, we're turning a new leaf around here.
Yeesh. You even use the spendy paper.
I use the 2 cent a sheet paper instead of the half a cent paper. All right, maybe it was 5 cents or 10 cents. I don't know. Pardon me? Yeah, exactly. Business manager, help me out with that.
Chief report.
All right. Well, good thing you're signing something, because this might take a little bit. I'll try and keep it as brief as possible. We have, as you would expect, lots and lots of stuff going on. We have a few decisions and things that I need you guys to kind of guide us or help us make some recommendations. The first thing that I'm going to talk about is we got approached by the Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council for the possibility of us assisting them with some funding for what is called the Core 3 Project. The Core 3 Project is a regional emergency service training and coordination center that is planned on being built on the airport property in Redmond. The reason it's Core 3, because it includes all three counties, Deschutes, Jefferson, and a lot of our funding and a lot of the plan is a cooperative program that many of the fire districts, many of them law enforcement, a lot of the cities, just about all the cities and counties are involved in, because we're a separate entity than like the city of Bend or something like that. We've kind of been pointed to as another government entity that they're asking for some support with. Looking at this and talking with these people, and I've heard about this prior to me coming to Jefferson County. However, I wasn't intimately involved with it because it was above my pay level at that point. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to build this critical piece of infrastructure that will provide an emergency coordination center. It'll also provide a training center for regional, for all the different disciplines in the region, law enforcement, fire, forest service, you name it. And then it'll be also have some community components there. But within that, it helps with, you know, if we have or have anything with the Cascadia subduction zone issues or major wildfires or something, it would be something that we could use. The reason I like it so much is they're putting a high priority on the training that's involved within that and the training component of this center, which includes, you know, a drill tower, emergency vehicle operations course, and various other props and things like that that go on for us and our needs. So for instance, if I want to do fire training, live fire training with my crews, if I want to go do that, I would have to take all the crews over to Eugene to get that done. That's the closest place I can go do it. And that's going to cost this money. It's going to cost this time. Or it's burning a house or doing a live fire training. Well, those things come up not very often, and they're hard to get, and they're even getting harder to burn because of all the the requirements that are necessary and the training that has to go into the live fire training course. Then you look at the emergency driving aspect, and that's another aspect that puts us at a huge amount of risk when we're driving and doing that stuff. So it's nice because it will have a skid car component. It'll also have a skid fire truck component, wet pavement, and that kind of stuff. So you can learn how to drive those on different stuff. Not to mention just the classroom event will bring some good quality instructors into the area for us that we can get some good information passed on and stuff. So I'm in great support of this from a regional concept. So the catch is I'm asking you, there's two ways we can do this. We can support it just by saying we're going to support it. The other piece that we can do is we can support it, and they basically asked for $5,000 to help support this. That's pretty low when you look at what everybody else has paid. A lion's share of this support has actually already come from the state of a point of like $234,000 that they've kind of already allocated. And they got some funding from the last legislative session to use for this also.
Question. Would that 5,000, say we donate the 5,000 towards, does that buy you a seat at the table?
Buys me a seat at the table. And then most importantly, it buys me a vote. So I have a say in
how many
what goes
votes
on.
Or slots or do you have it?
There's probably about 20 people total, I think, if you put it in there, but it's not like, so like I know that I think City of Madras is going to put in, I think Jefferson County will put in, and then, you know, I know the City of Bend's putting in, but that just means that's one vote for whoever their designee is for the City of Bend. It's not going to be the police and the fire department, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then there's some that don't. What this 5,000 does is this is for this particular funding cycle to complete the master plan, amend the UGB, and do some zone changes and engage the state and federal government for more of a large scale funding source for this. First round, and they're trying, the ultimate goal is 25 million is what they're trying to get to build this whole thing or this first phase.
By doing the 5,000, does that,
it buys us a seat for,
does that obligate us to future payments?
No, it does not. We can still support it, but if we get to the point where like, yeah, we can't do this anymore, then we just have to pull out. But
would board members get to drive the course?
I can work on it. I'll work on it, but highly doubtful.
Put you in the live fire tower.
Yeah.
As a rescue dummy.
It's a good concept. I think it's worth taking some of our money and placing it there to get us a seat at the table. We're not obligated to do the five. I mean, if we want to do 25, we could, like 2,500, we could. But they're asking us for the five. That's there's basically $10,000 left to meet their goal. Five from us, five from the City of Madras. So it's kind of like if we can do that, that gets us a vote. I've worked on these regional projects before. As you know, I can be a little stubborn and I can get it for what we want and what trying to make it right versus bluff, if you will. And that's kind of, you know, so that's kind of that next phase to put us so that we're actually involved instead of standing back on the sidelines.
Okay.
So I guess I need.
Are there any other questions for Chief Blake?
So is the City of Madras and the police department, they are putting in 5,000?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know 100. I know I talked to Tanner about it, and I know it was at Gus's desk, and he felt pretty comfortable that was the way it was going to go, but I think they're making a little bit more of a formal presentation. It might even be tonight at their city council meeting. I don't know. So I don't know that they've totally, I'd be lying if I said yes, because I don't know that it's been approved yet.
Well, if there's no other questions, entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve $5,000 to go towards this program.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim Stout. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Next.
I'll refrain from the funding source things and go just give you a little break here. As you know, I think we signed a check, but we are improving our phone system around here. I just want to give you an update. We are going with a local company, Flex Networks, is that right? Yes, thank you. Too many people to talk to. Anyways, there, and what that's going to give us is one, a better quality phone system, but it's one that we can link voice over IP with EMS to maintain that building over there. It's also one that we can send to Culver and link in. We can disregard all of our hardwire and our copper that we have down there and our internet eventually, where we're actually going to see it. We'll see it over the long term, more of a savings, and we're going to get more capacity within our organization to be able to add lines or move lines or forward lines. If we have any issues or help or we need help, we're going to get it from a local contractor instead of calling Costco or India or wherever we end up having to get that and us having to figure it out on our own. So I think we're saving on our bills, right? Initially, but we have the initial cost of what that deposit that we did for the check for the equipment. And so, but that gives us a lot more flexibility to be able to expand and put our phones where they need to be and make it work, especially with that many people in the building and our internet and stuff too. So I just wanted to bring you up to date. I don't need anything on that. Just bring you up to date on that. The last thing, our motor vehicle crash ordinance or MVA ordinance should be all completed, I believe, right? And so what I'm doing right now is just drafting the policy so that we can teach the information and what we need from our guys when they're on scene and when we're going to use it, when we're not going to use it. And then also I've started some outreach with the sheriff's department and the police department, letting them know that we're either going to be calling them the day after or shortly after, trying to get some information and or trying to get it on scene from them with that. We're going to try, we have two incidents that happened last Friday and when was the other? Sunday. And we'll start with those two incidents to bill and see how it works and go from there. So we're just updating that information. We'll get it out. And then Leanne's going to do the billing for that.
Cool.
One thing that I'm asking for you guys, and I don't, Tim, I'll need your help on this, is somewhere, and I'm still trying to catch up on the lexical stuff, but at one point we were having to read policies, or you guys were having to read policies and approve policies for Lexapol, I believe is how it was working. And what I would like to do is kind of ixnay that process. And what I would like to do is have you guys give me the authority to draft those policies and share them with my crew. And I don't know what has to be done to be able to do that. I think you can designate the fire chief to do that. The way I see this is we'll have board policies, and then we'll have administrative and operational policies is how I see this looking out. So for us, it would be, for me, you would be giving me the authority for the administrative and the operational policies for my staff. And then you would just have that trust in me that I'm doing things the right way so that we're not wasting your valuable time going through 50 or 60 policies that you don't really know
much about
what we're talking about or educating me on that. Does it make sense? I have lots of resources out there. I'm based on my research, based on some talk, and you're going to chuckle, but got to get rid of Lexapol. Lexapol does not work for us. It does not give us enough, and it's a waste, in my opinion, in talking not to Tim, but I was having this conversation with David today because it impacts us with some of our employee stuff that moving forward, that it's this blanket stuff, and there's stuff in there that we'll never use and we'll never see, so it's not really valid. So then you can make the argument that if you have to take it all by a blanket policy and you can't pick and choose, then is it really valid for organization? I don't want to be a policy-driven organization. I want to set the guidelines. I want to have the fog lines, if you will, and you get to operate between the fog lines and the expectation. But we have to have policies in order to function. We have to have policies to protect ourselves and things like that. But I want to take the approach from what some of our comparables are using, Sisters, Cook County, and then our policies from Bend, and build something that is more applicable to our organization moving forward. I love the laughing. Someday you won't laugh at me.
If I could throw in my two cents, legal counsel on this one. Part of what you're doing, I think, is absolutely appropriate, because the last chief never delineated between, we had this huge book full of policies that came from Lexapol, and he never delineated, well, these are kind of board policies, these are day-to-day administrative and functional policies, which shouldn't fall under the chief's purview to begin with. And instead, we just got to go through all of it. And I think that that's an appropriate delineation to be made. My only concern with cutting out Lexapol altogether is, but what means is there going to be to make sure that the policies are updated appropriately with whatever decisions come down from our beloved courts that could cause a change in policy that was part of the rationale for Lexapol, because they do that automatically.
We get updates from the special district. For example, when the state updated the harassment policy,
mm-hmm.
we had to update our harassment policy. And then our attorney went, yeah, it looks great. And I was actually impressed with myself because I desired it and he approved it. And I'm like, wow. And then special districts looked at it and said, no. And so I actually literally got our policy from special issues and just changed the names. And then they said, yeah, that's good. So I think that might be one resource there that can help with it.
We're basically, and that's where it is we are part of special districts. We can get a lot of those federal type policies from special districts that we can use, and that can help with our update. And we can get together. Maybe it's where, you know, you and I are getting together to make sure it's updated annually or whatever, but we're basically paying for special districts, and we're also paying for Lexapol. And Lexapol does not help us really for the state of Oregon. What the policies that I'm looking at is just simple policies like, how do we keep the station? When do you show up to work? What's the expectation? That kind of stuff that Lexapol doesn't give us. It doesn't let us be Jefferson County. It lets us be this department that we can't function with our own personality, with our own management style, with our own stuff. Now, Tim's exactly right. We have all those federal policies that we have to have and value, and those need to come from our legal counsel or from our special districts, and we need to adhere to those. There's no wiggle room in that, but we have wiggle room within some of the other policies about how we're going to act, who we're going to be, and what we're going to be as an organization moving forward. So that's kind of where I'm trying to take them both and kind of blend them together. But if you just wholeheartedly adopt Lexapol, it's the easy way out. But I would challenge the fact that you're even defendable in that if you're not following every one of those, or at least attempting to follow every one of those policies.
We ran into that.
Mm-hmm. And the world's too complex. It's just too, you know, and so, I mean, I want your opinion on this. You're our legal counsel, so, you know.
Well, I offered some of my opinion, and I think that, like I said, I see what you're, see your point. And I think the board probably sees your point too, because when we were going through those policies, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, page after page after page, you know, we could clearly see that there was stuff that was completely inapplicable to Jefferson County Fire District.
Right.
But as I think you correctly pointed out, it was the easy way out to make sure that our bases were covered, at least with respect to making sure that we didn't have antiquated policies that were effectively breaking the law by not being up to speed. Now, if there's another means to ensure that that takes place, then I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
Well, and I really question at this time, are Lexapol so incomplete as it stands today?
Right.
I mean,
I'm kind of operating under the assumption that we have no policies currently. I mean, other than what you guys approved before, which I don't even know what that was yet. Or have other, and then we have our standard harassment policies. We've got our standard kind of things that we have to do. So I just want to get it fixed moving forward.
Yeah, it needs to be fixed.
And this isn't the glamorous work. The glamorous work is putting ambulances in the station and doing all this fun stuff. Unfortunately, this has to get done too. And we need to kind of move forward with it. So.
Well, I think
probably would need a motion.
What's that?
A motion for Chief Blake to proceed.
Well, I guess I just have one more comment. I suppose that if we're not maintaining the Lexapol policy and the Lexapol policy, because the Lexapol policy isn't really functional for our district, then it doesn't seem that it would be any more work to revamp it as opposed to going in and doing the maintenance that Lexapol would require in order for it to be functional.
I would say it would be less work and more pertinent to go Chief Blake's route than it would to even remotely entertain the idea of attempting to get Lexapol current and applicable. That's my two cents.
So how do we... Like, would you proceed to find out how you get, like, what you were talking about, like, what you can get from maybe SDAO or?
Yeah, I would just have to call SDAO and then tell them what we're looking for. Yeah, they have a clearinghouse. Yeah, and what I would want from you, Tim, is you and I to get together and just make sure that we have kind of everything that we should be having and we're not missing anything.
Right. That would be fine by me, and this probably is the appropriate time with the pending consolidation to do that, to make sure that we have all of the policies that are necessary for both fire and EMS district.
Yeah,
and going back and trying to fix Lexapol to accommodate that would probably be quite the chore.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's cool.
Yeah. And there's no, in my opinion, there's, you know, you're going to have to look at your board policies. You're going to have to be familiar with them and we're going to have that section, but everything below that, there's really no reason that should be at the authority of the fire chief to do that and make that happen. And I, you know, at the same time, if it's under my authority and I have to be held responsible with their poor policies. Right. So not that I wouldn't be anyways.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Do we need to do any motion or do we just need to?
Well, we're not, I think it's kind of the investigation phase a little bit right now. We're not,
we have nothing to adopt.
Calling on a vote right now to junk Lexapol, although that sounds like it's in the future. But I think you come back and report to the board what you're proposing as an alternative to Lexapol with a little bit more detail, and then we could have a resolution for to be adopted at that point.
Okay. So we'll work on this. This isn't going to be it's not going to be done next month. It's going to be take a little while, but we'll get her done moving forward. But I think we have three fine examples of what they should look like and what they'll be like. And there's a lot of plagiarism that goes on in the fire service. So.
It's a serious form of flattery.
Exactly. So, okay. All right, you ready? Did I give enough of a break?
Send it.
Send it. So this right here is a fine proposal that we have from Chittix Enterprises. As you know, we've been researching some contractors for the kind of the internal remodel of this station so that we can fit everybody in. Right now, we did get a proposal from Stacy. We're not ready to act on that as a board currently. We're still waiting for a couple more to come in, but we're looking at about $80,000 to do what we need to do for the remodel within here, these walls, to make it more comfortable, provide more sleeping space to do that.
Is that this week or next week or?
Yeah, I don't know. We've got one more bid. We've called four contractors. We've only really received Chittix's bid first, but we know we're probably getting one more next week. However, that $80,000 puts us kind of towards the prevailing wage side of things, which then obviously increases 20 or 30%. So what we've tried to do is we're working with the current Stacy currently to say, okay, what in theory could we do to get that below the prevailing wage kind of concept, and not anything that, you know, is illegal, but who's going to be responsible for what, basically. So his price is everything's done. We don't have to worry about it. And then there's some options there. But like I said, we're not ready to present to you guys on that.
Put out an RFP for that?
No.
Pardon me? Are we exempt on that?
I believe we are, yes.
Okay.
We're not, like I said, we're just trying to see how much it's going to cost us right now.
Okay.
We're not ready to.
Okay.
Yeah. We're following the lead of kind of what the city of Culver has done with a couple of their things, and the mattress has done without having to do the RFP.
Okay.
Factor of that, and that's CME, is that right?
Yeah.
That's yeah. So again, I'm still learning on some of this. So
be back off on the acronyms.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, RFP is request for proposals. I mean, it's public contracting. Certain projects that are undertaken by public agencies over a specified dollar amount have to be put out for request for proposals. And then there is a lot of specific requirements for what you put in the request for proposals and how those proposals are supposed to be submitted to the agency that issued the RFP.
CME,
construction materials estimate, I think.
Yeah.
If memory serves me correctly. And so that's something that is kind of like an investigatory phase of getting ready to go out for an RFP.
So we're on the CME right now.
Okay. We'll have to get into more detail on exactly what CME means, because there can be work done through that phase of it. But it's an interesting, we could put out an RFP and get no bidders on this too. I mean, we've already reached out and had none. So, when we get to that point, we'll need to have those questions answered to make sure that we're doing everything right. Tim will be part of that. What I'm proposing right now is we have a proposal from Stacy right now on looking towards the future of the organization and looking forward, not only after we finish this internal remodel, we need to start looking at the possible expansion of this building for the future and ways that we need to do that. But there are things that need to get done regardless of when we decide to do that. There's, you know, what this proposal in here puts is some needs for, got my notes here, It includes the engineering, seismic upgrades for the specific building because of its age, an updated topo map and plan because we don't have one based on all the ODOT changes and things like that. A revised site plan, and we are still actually living in the blueprints for this. That's actually blueprints for this building and getting those transferred into a DWG document, which is a format for architectural drawings. I'm not going to tell you what that specifically is because I can't even tell you that. And then, you know, this is all information that we're going to, and then it would also use going through the engineering phase of this, it would give us a preliminary floor plan design of what we're looking at for the future. You know, there's a lot of room. There's been talk about taking the building this way if we need more room. Well, we run into a bunch of different utilities. Now that ODOT has chopped up our parking lot here, it might make more sense to take the building this way because we're not dealing with the utilities and things like that if we want to expand it. But then what that brings into is our whole comprehensive plan for this whole lot that we need to do. And we don't even have updated plot plans with that, with pins and everything else. If we wanted to do our comprehensive plan over the next 2 to 5 years with, you know, potentially adding a BLM building, potentially doing a storage and maintenance area, and then also potentially having a student housing, you know, attached to that building if we want later, which would could or may include a drill tower or other training props that we have to run up there. Maybe expansion of the parking lot or the training grounds or the drill grounds for the future. So this proposal helps us get part of this done so that we actually have the ability then to try and go and fund this project in the future through.
So this is totally separate than the 80,000.
This is totally separate. Okay. This is future. So the 80,000 is like so internal.
Right.
But this.
So if we get this done, then maybe if the grants come available or something like that, then we already have the groundwork
done. We already have the work done. We already have everything that we need. We have a preliminary engineered drawings that we can actually submit for these grants, such as seismic grants from the state to upgrade our building or other potential grant funding mechanisms. The other piece to this is BLM has already started the process to build that building potentially on our property there. We have the option, and the price that they're getting is somewhere in that $6 million phase for that building. Well, if we build it, it could be, because we're not federal government, it could be $4 million. Well, we could then turn around and have a long-term lease with BLM for 25 years, add on more to that building to make it more user-friendly for us. So we have the BLM station. Maybe we have extra maintenance, extra storage, and like I said, maybe student housing or something like that. You got to take off, Mike? All right, thank you. Have a good day.
Good night. Bye, Mike. So are you the one that's going to figure all this out?
Yeah.
He's okay. The chief.
But, and this, I guess I need to ask with you. We have an estimated price that puts us somewhere between $17,250 to $19,250. With this current proposal to build this.
17 to 19, did you say 17,000 to 19,000?
Yeah, range? Yeah.
I believe that's exempt from public contracting. Anything under $50,000, we're probably in the clear on that. But I'll double check it and I'll let you know. Can you send me a copy of that?
Yeah, we can get you a copy of that and get you done. But that would give us this preliminary work to get this done.
Which could be huge if grants come available. And a lot of that you need to have it done right now. And that's not going to just happen overnight.
Right. So I'm looking towards the future. And I'm not even going to say it's going to happen next month.
Right.
But we could start this process over the course of the next few months. I just wanted you guys to be aware, and if you feel it's something worth spending some of our reserves on for the future, because we know it's going to need to happen and we have plans, and it's building It's setting us up for the future of an organization. It's building this plan so that we actually have a, we can plot out sample buildings. We can plot out, we can figure out if we want to put a drill tower in and where we're going to expand our parking lot. And we can work with the engineering on all that. And then we can start to find funding for it. And
I think it's a great idea. I mean, there's been nothing down here for years and years. When was this built?
In 1989.
Yeah.
Let's say late 80s.
So, are you looking for a...
I need a motion to basically, as long as we...
Pending
legal counsel's review, that we could have a motion that we could allocate up to, let's say, $20,000 to complete this process.
So moved.
Is there a second?
So I just, I'm sorry. So that whatever 2019 is for that, just that planning portion of it, getting all.
Okay. Yeah. And if you guys, we can make you guys copy if you want to, if you feel more comfortable reading this over, we'll make you more copies of this. But that's just kind of the, what we've gotten from Stacy on this long-term stuff.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim Stout. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
All right.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Okay. Thank you. We walked through Culver the other day. Culver is gonna be so on our next consolidation meeting, I've been asked to kind of give a rough idea of what I felt like our operations would look like over the period of time. Culver, we've got some work to do down there. We're in a lease that is kind of interesting for us right now. We're actually paying 100% of the utilities there for this building, and we're only using 45%, 46% of it. They're also within that lease. There's some things that the city's supposed to be providing, like fix-its and some other stuff that's not there. So we're starting to try and have some conversations about, we're not going to try and break the lease. We're not trying to do anything like that, but we just have to kind of re-solidify kind of some of the things that are going on there and kind of reestablish the boundaries and the use of the building and that with the city council down there and the city recorder and probably the lawyer. So with that, there's probably about at some point in time, and I'm not ready to bring this to you 100%, but there's a point at which we need to spend about 25, 30 grand on that building. Okay.
We do or they do?
Well, that's going to be part of this issue because I'm worried about, there's two things I want to try and accomplish in the near future. One is I wanted to get an agreement in them for a first right of refusal for us to be able to buy Culver if and when that ever gets sold. I don't know that there's going to be any competition, but I'm not willing to count it out. If we lose that building or get out of that building, there's no place to put a fire department down there. But I know they're interested in building the city kind of community center and some other stuff. So I would like to at least get it in there as get a first right of refusal agreement with them so that we have that opportunity to say yay or nay on that building. Part of the reason I want to do that is if we're going to spend any money in that building, I want to make sure that we're going to get our money out of it. So what that means is we might have the need to either decide we want to purchase that building at some point in time and or increase our lease to a 20-year lease so that whatever money we put into that building,
it's like ours.
It's worth it because right now I don't want to put money in that building, then decide they want to sell it, and then they give this astronomical price that we just put $50,000 in, but it's $200,000 more than asking. If I felt like I could, I would try to get an agreed price on right now with some escalation in it for when they decided to sell it so that we had a little bit more control over it. But I don't want to take 25, 30 grand of our money, put it in there, then turn around and have to put another X money in there later and not get out of it.
What did you say? We're in year 7 of 10?
We're in year 5 of 10.
5 of 10.
Right? No.
27 is when it.
27 is when the lease ends. 2027.
We're halfway through there.
Yeah. So I guess it is 5. Yeah. So we're. So now's the time to start having this conversation. However, I've been made aware of some potential issues surrounding the city government down there. So how closely we can get and where we can get to that, it might be something down the road that we have to do. Currently, the only thing I can do in that building to make it more livable for crews, if we ever want to put them down there, or students, or to attract more volunteers, basically that building's just been kind of, yeah, it's Culver, and we need to make it more attractive. We need to make a reason for people to be there. We also need to make a reason for people to want to volunteer there and have some ownership in it. But really, the only thing I can do is I can paint it, the inside. I'm responsible for the walls, but anything else in there, I have to get written permission from the city of Culver to make any changes within that building, especially knocking down walls or even put new flooring in, or to make it more comfortable for the lease agreement. I've had Rick kind of peruse that lease agreement, and he's going to make some recommendations to me, but via on paper so that I can bring some of this stuff to you. But that's what I'm working on, is kind of figuring out what, if anything, can we do to make it more comfortable so that we can meet the agreements as we see moving forward with the consolidation piece of this and our student needs and that. And quite honestly, I think Rick feels strongly that our price per foot is actually really competitive, but I think we've lost a lot of the control within that lease to get certain things done, and especially if we're paying 100% of those utilities for the whole building. So that's just something that we've been investigating and working on that I just wanted to make you aware of. Okay. Any questions on that?
I thought we worked that out on the utilities.
That's what everybody thought, but we didn't. The lease actually says that we will pay 100% of the utilities in there.
Working out. Yeah. That was another sign here.
Yeah. So
the other thing, if we're looking, if you're going to be considering, you know, buying that building at a certain time, we really need to annex the city of Culver. So wouldn't that be awkward that we own that building, but we're only contracted to provide them service?
Well, but that gets, yes. I feel like we do need to consider annexing the building that, or Culver. However, I don't necessarily, we're going to be faced with a couple different things moving forward. There's actually an annexation bill that is before it's passed the House. I believe it's in the Senate, or it's passed the Senate. It's in the House now. I think it's passed the Senate. It's in the House now. That is, and I'm actually doing a 2-hour question answer on this, but it's Senate Bill 762. Which is basically would allow us as a fire district to annex at our choice any place we decide we want to annex within so many miles of our district. And I think it's 7 miles, right?
I think it's 7.
Which means that it would not necessarily be required to go to a vote. Now, you could say that's pretty ugly and pretty due to pull, and it can be. And so, but I want to get the issue. So that's one aspect about annexation and kind of seeing how that's going to work out. The other issue is, are they even willing to? Because what are they going to, are they going to pay an extra $1.18, or is the city going to drop their rate by $1.18 in order to make that same? Does that make sense?
It's been about 6 or 7 years now. I remember, were you on here when we
just started?
So the city of Culver was ready to annex, but the chief at the time decided contract was a better way to go, because they were ready to sign the annex, and the chief felt like they should really go out to the voters to vote versus the city to sign it. And that just kind of died from that point. And I think we're probably still stuck on that. contract rate.
Yeah, in which the city covers. Our contract rate is the annexation rate.
Yeah.
Currently with the city of Culver, so we're not even getting our full. So not only are we in an awkward lease, we're not
contract
even.
Contract rate is the tax rate, not
correct. Right. Thank you. But our normal contract rate is
$250.
So, you know, not only are we in an awkward lease, but we're giving them a benefit too.
Contract.
So. So there's some changes in the wind down there, and there's some external relationships that need to be kind of fixed and rebuilt. We started that last week. So we just need to see where we want to go from here moving forward. So it's a little more complicated than we anticipated. Any other questions on that? Thank you. Okay, the last thing, because I know the rest of this is kind of just, we get through this. I asked Tom to actually research the possible purchase of a dump trailer for our organization. The reason for the dump trailer for us that I believe we needed is for, there's several things. One, we need a place to put all of our training props and the stuff that we use in our waste materials so that we don't look like we have a dumping ground in the backyard here with that current stuff. The other thing it gives us is it gives us an ability to be able to do some maintenance around here, haul some gravel, work with the other EMS coming over here. We're going to be doing a ton of training, and we're going to develop a lot more waste material and things like that that we need to get rid of. And then it also gives us a way to move, you know, if we want to go buy a unit of plywood down in Redmond, we can go grab it, throw it on the truck, and have a way to bring it back. And we can use some of our existing trucks that can pull this trailer. And it's a good intermediary for helping us out. Not to mention if we have a big fire, it's the wintertime, and we have frozen hoses that we have to bring back, or we got heavy duty hoses, dirty hoses that we can't. You know, we got to pile in and bring back here. That gives us another option for that. So what I'm proposing is we went out and got three bids for trailers. The best price that we found is actually from, and the best trailer for the price and the quality is this trailer dealer right up the road here, the Iron Bull trailer. And we got a price from them for that trailer of $12,389.
How big is it?
It's a 7x14, 14,000 pound trailer. GDW, and it's got a 5,000 pound dry weight on it. And it's heavy duty construction with the floor's got a heavy duty steel floor on it that will be resistant to the
12 inch.
Yeah. So this is, it's just, you know, I've listened to you guys and I've looked around the grounds, and quite honestly, I want something that we can dispose of our stuff and we can put it in and get rid of it. And what I feel like is this can be considered part of that merger process and budget that we're putting together, because we are, a bulk of this is we're going to be using it for training, and now's kind of the time to do it because we can utilize.
So our cost is $6,150.
Well, we're gonna get all of their we're not gonna do this billing piece. We're getting all of their assets transferred to us, so we'll just pay for the whole thing.
So what do we use now for that type of situation? I mean, maybe nothing if there's a pile.
Have you seen the little black trailer that's out there with the canopy that we used to have to haul our trash to the dump?
Okay.
With? Can you just put it in a pile and burn it?
Only.
God, they put the
trash inside. I'm being recorded right now. Come on, Ryan, I'm being recorded. Don't tip me. In the wintertime, yes, we can burn it. But in the summertime, we can't. So. I need a yay or a nay on whether you're going to let me buy a trailer or not.
Chris?
I say yay.
Oh, wow. Well,
I've looked for used ones because we tend to buy used things around here.
But I don't know the value of trailers. Well, I bought one about 5 years ago, and it was about $8,500.
That's when I bought mine.
About $8,500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the exact same thing. But that big Tex that I bought for $8,500 right now is selling for $15,900.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
So that does seem like a, it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And, you know.
But if it's a need, and it'll prove the, makes you one step closer to getting your cheatgrass peeled out of the entrance flower bed, right?
Okay, I'm in. I knew that was my next comment. That's what I was trying to allude to. It helps us get things cleaned up around here.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
We made a motion a second.
You second it.
I second it.
Okay.
Yeah, I second. You said
aye, man. First.
Aye.
Okay.
Anything else?
Not today. I'm done with you
Thank
guys.
You.
Okay. Sorry.
So we should save one for lot next month.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. I'll save some for next month.
Yes, that was great.
Oh, we spent about $100,000 a day.
Yeah.
Admin scar.
Yeah. Really, the only thing I was going to touch on is Dan did a great job putting our annual reports together. So they're here presented to you guys.
This is officially going to be the last report for
us.
This is it, because next time we'll have EMS involved in it and more calls and lots of different stuff. So Casey and Leanne put this together. They did a great job with the help of the other guys, and then I reviewed it, made a few minor changes here and there, and then Leanne and I have started kind of planning for the next upgraded version of what the annual report is going to be, which includes EMS and a couple of things like that. So,
is this our official new web address?
Yes. We went on a limb and just made one, you know, not knowing what the name was going to be, but we needed to change our name. So, we went with it. Really, this is for you guys to review and let in. I mean, if you want me to go through each one, but yeah, got the opportunity to do the Chief's message this year. I think we did last year as well, but it was a busy year for us, that's for sure.
Getting busier.
Yeah. Chief Blake covered everything else under admin, I think. We're going to fine-tune our agendas too and stuff, making sure that we're hitting everything where it needs to be.
We're going to probably get rid of the administrative section and potentially just have kind of that, just glom the Chief's report under that with some of that. And then the other thing that we've talked about is I would like to get a kind of a standing executive session at the end of the meeting in there, not saying that we have to use it each month, but at least give us the option if there's something that we need to discuss, especially with everything that we got moving forward. So we would have to follow all the rules that entails.
That's not uncommon to see that as part of the public agency's agenda, as the executive session being on the agenda. When we know that there's going to be a specific topic addressed under the executive session, we should include, you know, what that's going to be. But otherwise, I see a lot of the public enemies just with executive session and on the agenda. Sometimes it's used, sometimes it's not.
Right. And that's the way I'd kind of like to get this set up, just so that we have that latitude that if we have something that we need to chat about, we have that option.
Anything else? Monthly bank accounts.
Yeah. That's you.
No.
You're staying that guy.
It's like the main we have 406,785. And then in the LGIP, we have 1,843,478. Total balance, 2,250,236. And the difference, we had 84,618 to pay the bills.
Do we have a current information of what the LGIP is paying for interest?
The shows in the profit.
Just looking at the interest on our financials, it seems a little compared to what I thought we were at. Okay, that'd be fine. It was substantial, larger balance than we have in previous years,
and then the interest you can
see. But we're well through halfway through the year, and we're
blowing a budget on that one. So
it doesn't seem like it should have dropped from last year. Either way. Thanks, Leanne.
Did you need to be put on it for the PPE grant as well?
No.
Oh.
It's that was from the county. So we have three grants out, as you know. One is the AFG grant, the other is the SAFER grant, and then we put in for the grant that you gave us for, we're hoping to use that money to offset the cost of new turnouts for the crews that are coming over from EMS, which is about somewhere $60,000.
That's a Northwest Farm Credit stewardship grant. They have their board, Northwest Farm Credit Board, has approved $1 million in each state that they do business in: Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana. And as me being on the advisory board, we could take, we have an opportunity to apply, give that to nonprofits in the community to apply for up to $100,000. And $25,000 to $100,000. It's pretty simple. The simple form they filled out, and there'll be a committee that reviews it, and then I think in around June is when they will announce, June, July, or something like that, is when they will announce who receives that money. And I brought one here, and I can't remember what you applied for, but
we applied for turnouts and wildland PPE for $60,000.
So
$12 cents.
It's expensive. But then we got some other good news on the EMS side of things. Is EMS got $184,000 in COVID relief funds from the state. And Mike and I have been talking about what we're going to do with that. And they're in desperate need, and it falls within their grant restrictions. But they've been wearing the wheels out of their medic units, taking people back and forth to Bend and Redmond through COVID. So we actually have the ability that we could buy an ambulance with, or get close to buying an ambulance with a grant, which would then offset some previous anticipated costs that were in our merger budget for a new ambulance in there. So
yeah, and there's another grant.
And new graphics.
We have another grant too. We're going to go for, I believe, as well as the VFA grant, that $20,000 max. It's a match. It's a 50-50 grant, but that can also offset some costs for whether it's PPE or equipment, things like that, training. So we're going to look at that as well.
So with 5 grants out there, I hope we get at least some success. We still utilizing that. The city's been great with letting us use their grant writer. We've even identified if we've had another conversation on
fuels mitigation,
and then building the building project for here long term. So,
okay. Motion to pay the bills. We need that, Rob. We get that.
Yeah,
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Awesome.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Citizen input, public comments, items on off agenda, additional comments, announcements. I know I've told you, but both you and the staff, excellent job on the open house and swearing in. I was impressed, number one, by the turnout. I just speaks volumes of the following that you have, and the nice touch on the bagpipes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Kudos to those guys for coming down.
You didn't want to kiss me or hug me, though. What's up with that?
At least not in public.
I heard about
it's
that.
Over.
Saturday night.
I kind of took you were being stingy. My wife on that. Goes, I didn't know you were going to kiss me in front of everybody. I'm like, well, sorry.
That was the best
what else did you expect?
Right.
So,
it all brought tears to our eyes.
It did mine.
Okay, no other comments.
I don't know. Is there any comments from citizen input?
What?
Would you have somebody that? Yeah. Would you have somebody?
I don't know.
None?
I don't think so.
Okay. We'll adjourn at 7:10.